Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with two first-year students in our Executive MBA Class of 2022, Catriona Statler-Ayer and Sean Taylor. Catriona and Sean were both recently elected to the Executive Student Association. We caught up with them to talk a little bit more about their backgrounds, how they decided to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, how they decided to become class leaders, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Catriona Statler-Ayer and Sean Taylor. Catriona, Sean, welcome to the podcast.
So great to be here. Excited to be on the podcast.
Thanks for having us. I applied to Darden to be on this podcast.
All right. Well, dreams come true. It's great to have you both here. It's always a great day when the circle comes complete, so to speak, when podcast listeners become podcast guests. That's the best day for us here at Exec MBA Podcast Incorporated. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to check in and see how you're both doing. Catriona, how is everything?
Things are going well. Keeping busy. I can't believe we've already done three quarters at Darden, and we just got our grades this week for Q3, and I passed. So yay!
That's great. And Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Time's just flying by, and it's packed every day. So I'm enjoying it and just trying to keep up.
Well, you know, that is sort of the way things go for executive MBA students. Things are really busy. You're trying to prioritize relentlessly what's most important at any given time. Before we get into your stories, I want to see one of the questions I've really enjoyed asking podcast guests over these past few months, past year, is have you picked up any hobbies? Now, this is a loaded question for executive MBA students who are really busy, but my hunch is that you found, you know, a little extra time to maybe do some fun things during the pandemic, picked up maybe a pastime, a hobby or two. Catriona, how about you?
Well, two things. One is we got a quarantine puppy. The kids waited a long time and now we have a puppy. Her name is Hope. She takes up a lot of time. She's lots of fun. And then the other thing is I've been dabbling in online cooking classes, which I've been really enjoying as a way to kind of explore the world, even when I'm tied down to Arlington, Virginia.
There's sort of a meditative quality to cooking, right? You get into it, kind of takes you out of the moment. Have you learned any new recipes, anything you'd like to share with our listeners here?
Yeah, so one of the most fun things that I did was I did a Cape Malay cooking class, which I really enjoyed. And then my most recent one was making a lasagna with making the pasta as well from scratch. And it was outstanding. Actually did not take as long as I thought it was going to take. So maybe one day we'll be able to share. I'll bring you some lasagna.
One can dream. That sounds great. It sounds like a major upgrade from my usual Stouffer's lasagna. So I look forward to this day, Catriona. Sean, how about you? Any hobbies you picked up here in the past year?
Yeah, so I'm not sure you could say that I found more time in the day. What I really had to do is kind of prioritize what's important and what I'm focusing on. Before Darden and before the pandemic, I like to fly fish. I like to get outside a lot. I have not done any fly fishing in a while, but what I have been doing is spending more time, particularly with my kids. I've got three of them. I got a 4-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So my free time has just been doing whatever they like to do. William likes to watch engineering YouTube videos, and spending a lot of time outside when it's not pouring or freezing, and yeah, just, you know, quality time with the family, I suppose.
That's great. And I imagine a 4-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, diverse in their interests, passions, activities. So keeps you busy.
It does.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming on the podcast. The inspiration for inviting you was, other than I just enjoy talking to the two of you, you were recently elected class leaders. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we get to that, I want to learn a little bit more about you and your background. So Sean, I'm going to come to you for this first question here, kick us off. Tell us a little bit more about your story. Who are you? What do you do? And what did you do before coming to Darden?
So I grew up in Texas. And I enlisted in the Marine Corps straight out of high school, went into the intelligence field, did that for a little while, got into a commissioning program and headed over to Texas A&M to get a degree and was commissioned as a second lieutenant. Came out the other side as an artillery officer. I always like to say intelligence to artillery is the natural progression, which it's not, by the way. So I did the artillery officer thing for a few years. I was wounded in combat, and that ended my running around doing artillery stuff days. So since 2013 or so, I've been in Quantico, Virginia, and I've been working in test and evaluation and program management for Marine Corps acquisitions. So yeah, I hit 20 years last year in 2020, and I'm approaching retirement. So that's where I am now.
All right. And Catriona, tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so I'm a closet propeller head. I'm a tech geek. Like Sean, I also went to school in Texas, although I'm a proud Rice Owl. And I've always had a love of technology and have been working on the internet since its very early days. So my focus has always been on helping students to get access to the internet and get access to broadband. I worked at the local, state, and federal level, and for the last 20 years have been working on the federal E-rate program, which provides connectivity to schools and libraries.
Now, if there was a subject that has been in the news a lot over the past year, your work is just that subject. I mean, gosh, discussions around broadband, infrastructure bills, access to the internet, that feels very, very now.
Yeah, it does. And it is interesting because the conversations that I had even 5 years ago, people would say, oh yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. But now, of course, it's top of mind for everyone. And the federal government has many new programs coming out even this past week about helping students to get connected at home, helping to expand that broadband. So it's a key priority for our nation.
Well, thank you both for coming on the podcast and sharing more about your stories. One of the questions I always enjoy asking people is, how did you decide to pursue an MBA? Because I think this is always such an interesting topic to our listeners, because many people listening to this podcast are kind of wondering, is now the right time? Should I do this particular degree, this particular program? So, Catriona, kick us off here. How did you decide that you wanted to pursue an MBA?
Yeah, so I also have kids. My kids are a little bit older than Sean's. I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. And, so I'm a mom. I've always worked full time, but my kids have been my priority for a long time. And as they started to, look ahead to college, I was thinking, well, what's next for me? And I had gotten to a point in my career where I had sort of achieved the goal that I wanted to. I ran that federal program that I always wanted to be in charge of. And then the question was, okay, so now what's next? And one day my sister said to me, why don't you go back to school? And I just kind of brushed it off. And then within a week, there happened to be a Darden Coffee in Roslyn. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go. And sort of the rest is history. Although it did take me a year and a half, more than a year to actually apply. But that was really the start of my thinking around going back to school.
Well, we always tell prospective students, this is probably a year to 3 year process for a lot of people, somewhere in that range. And for many of our students, actually much longer than that. Maybe they thought about the full-time MBA program, they worked for a while, came back to it, and decided that the executive MBA program was the right fit for them at this particular juncture in their career. So everybody has their own journey, but it's a deliberative process, I think, for most executive MBA candidates, just given the complexity of your personal life, your work life at this juncture. Sean, how about for you? You mentioned you were at retirement, in the sort of military, doing these series of roles. You're now here in an MBA program. What led you to say an MBA is the right next step for you?
So asking that question, what's next, right? I mean, you're about to retire. I can't keep doing the same thing I was doing forever. So it took some soul searching to figure out where I wanted to go next. I enjoy where I am. The people are amazing. The work is important and it's exciting. But I want to do something completely different. So, I mean, while parts of my story are unfortunate, it's also given me a lot of access to skills that I wouldn't otherwise have. Doing the test and evaluation, operations management, program management is not something that I would have done otherwise. But there are also skills that I know are missing. Like when I want to go out, particularly if I want to get away from defense acquisitions, there are business skills that I know I need to have. So the question became, what do I need to do? What's the best way to get those skills? And I don't think the MBA is the answer for everybody, but in my case, it really aligns well with making that transition. I mean, I'm at what's definitely an inflection point for myself. So it was the right time, and looking into what an MBA actually is and what it provides, it's the perfect match. It's the best transition I could ask for.
So I'm curious, Sean, what about Darden stood out to you?
So I'm a researcher. I over research everything. If it's buying a new gadget or a television or a book, I will over research everything. So going into the process, I mean, I 10 years ago, MBA was not in my mind at all. I had no intentions whatsoever. So when I started thinking about it, I started wide. You know, what is an MBA program? You Google MBA programs. I'm in Northern Virginia, so the ones that are local are a heck of a lot easier to consider than otherwise. And then you narrow it down based on what it is that each program offers and advertises. There's a few fantastic programs that are in this area. And I got into some of the admissions information style stuff for a few of them. And I ended up just falling in love with Darden. I went to a couple of the coffee chats. I went to a mock class. The case method was appealing in itself, but it was really the gravity of the program. It felt like people were there not just to earn an MBA, but to truly like develop and get better. That may be true for other places as well, but at Darden, it just felt like a natural fit.
It's one of the most interesting things about this decision to me is that at some point, you do all that research, kind of narrow the universe, and it starts to become intuitive. It becomes a feel thing. As you know, important as the decision is, you know, choosing an MBA program, it's got professional dimensions, career dimensions, brand dimensions, all this kind of stuff. But there are just some places that feel right when people make this decision. How about for you, Catriona?
Yeah, so, you know, I think similar to what Sean was talking about, I knew that I wanted to go to a top tier school. There was just a whole bunch of schools that were just off the table. If I was going to spend all this time and money and effort, then I wanted to have a really great degree. And for me, it was really the people. Going to the mock class, people were so welcoming. And especially, you know, huge shout out to the women of the class of 2020. They kind of took me under their wing. Several of them followed up with me. It made a big difference to me as I saw women who were like me, were able to get through the program, had similar backgrounds, were successful in the program. And that was really important. And I knew that I would meet other people who would be like-minded. So it really did come down a lot of it to the people. And obviously it's the case method is important, but it's the sort of the feeling of camaraderie around the class and this, and that's what really drew me.
Well, I think of you both as folks who've been really helpful to us thus far through the first, year of your program as we work to recruit our next class of students. You've come to admissions events, networking events, and mock classes. What's it like to be on the other side now, Catriona, where you're now in quarter four of the program, you're a first year student and connecting with prospective students?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you ask that because when I attend those events and I hear people ask the same questions that I asked a year ago, and it is, you know, the answers that I got at the time, you know, you're going to be okay. You're not an imposter. You're here for a reason. You can do this. That I can now say that with confidence to the next set of classmates. That's really wonderful. And it's great to meet all of them.
And Sean, I know you've been around for some of our mock classes and admissions events. What's that like now to be a first year student on the other side?
It's a strange feeling for sure. It wasn't that long ago that I was in the seat, and then you fire off your application and go through the interview, and you still have absolutely no idea what's going to happen at the end. Spoiler alert, I got in, but it was, it's great. I mean, it's self-selecting. The people that are interested choose to show up to these events. So the pool is just incredible. It's interesting talking to people and the questions that you get, because I think one of the themes that you have to remind yourself over and over is that you're not looking as an admissions team for one specific kind of person. You're not looking for necessarily the straight A's, you know, highest GMAT or executive assessment or anything like that. You're not looking for people who were in these specific clubs. I did not have great grades in undergrad, and I absolutely was not sure if I was going to make a cut to get in. I'm glad I'm here. And I think my story resonates with a lot of different people, and talking to the prospective students and the people who aren't sure if they should put their name in the hat. I mean, my advice is, it's like Catriona, and ultimately it's make people say no. Make the admissions team do their job and figure out what the best makeup for this class is. Put your name in the hat and go for it. It's exciting talking to them.
That's great. And I think so much goodness in what both of you said. Obviously, very holistic process. We're very interested in getting to know people as people through this process and take full advantage. We've talked a little bit about admissions events and coffee chats and all these ways to connect with the admissions team. Ideally, as you move through this process, doing your research, you're taking advantage of that, making those personal connections. This is a tight-knit group of people. You will hear people talk about the Darden family all the time. We try to establish that culture early on in your research process, giving you sort of a feel for what it's like to be a student. So thank you both for your perspectives. Sean, you're in quarter four. You just finished quarter three. You're now settling in. You're taking, I believe, global economics, the second half of that course, the first half of operations, and maybe an elective, defining moments or transforming societies. Which class did you choose?
I'm doing the transforming societies.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about how things are going in the program so far.
It's great. It's such an interesting mix of classes that you get every quarter. There's whether it's quant or you call them soft skills or an elective or whatever the case may be. It's been a very, I don't know, it's kind of hard to put my finger on it. The way things, you can kind of tie them across classes has been interesting. Getting the perspectives of the professors and the students alike has been fascinating. It's going well. It's a good quarter. Enjoying it.
How about you, Catriona?
Things are going well. I'm in the other class. I'm in defining moments, which is all about those times when you're in the hot seat and your leadership conversations go south, which is really helpful. How do you have those difficult conversations as a leader? That's so important. I would be remiss if I didn't put in a plug. We just finished, we were supposed to go travel just before Q4. And obviously that didn't happen because of the pandemic. But we, Sean and I both participated in the virtual Argentina trip, and it was outstanding and got to really get to know so many people across Argentina, business leaders, and learn about it. So that was a really fun class to do. It was very different from the classes that we've done so far, which have been very much, what you would expect sort of the fundamentals to be, and a great sort of look ahead to what some of the leadership classes will be in the second year.
That's great. And I believe there's a blog post out now from one of your classmates on the Global Voices of Darden blog all about that Argentina course and those virtual global courses. That's been one of the real innovations of this pandemic year. Lottie Carr, all credit to Lottie and the CGI team, Center for Global Initiatives team, for being creative, finding ways to continue to offer global experiences in a virtual format. So if I'm doing the math, I think there's been a Finland-Estonia course, there's been an India course, there's this Argentina course that you both took, and I think there's a Japan course coming for our 2021. So still possible to have a global experience, even in the midst of all of this. And so that's cool. Tell us a little bit more. I'm sure our listeners are now intrigued. Like, what is a global course in a virtual format look like? Catriona, tell us a little bit more about what happened during that week.
Yeah, so our professor was actually from a business school in Argentina. And then every day we had two speakers from different industries who came and briefed us. We had we started with sort of an overview of the economy and, you know, kind of getting grounded. And then we spoke with people in fintech and, you know, entrepreneurs, some of the unicorns in Argentina, Globant, Rappi, obviously Mercado Libre, then also agriculture, viticulture. So, you know, we had a really broad range of different people who would come and spend an hour with 20 people or an hour and a half with 20 people and answer all of our questions. I mean, when do you get the opportunity to sit down and talk with one of the leaders at Mercado Libre? I mean, it's just amazing opportunity and really opened my eyes to understand much more about how sophisticated the business world is in Argentina.
Sean, did you know much about doing business in Argentina before this course?
I knew absolutely nothing about doing business in Argentina. And now I know a little bit of something. It was fascinating. And one of my favorite aspects of that class was the structure. There is no lecture at Darden. I have never sat in a class and had a professor get up and talk to me through a PowerPoint ever. And that goes to these global courses as well. The format was the guest speakers had 15 to 20 minutes to come in and give a very, very high level overview of who they were, what their organization does, and whatever it is that they had to bring to the class. And then we had a Q&A for, what was it, about an hour? And it was amazing. The class size was pretty small. We had something like 18 students in there, and we just talked nonstop for about an hour. And we went all the way to the wire every single time. So it was a shockingly beneficial class. I was dubious when I heard that we were going to do a virtual trip in lieu of a travel thing, but it was one of the best experiences I've had here so far. It was great.
For listeners who are interested in learning a little bit more about Lottie Carr, she is a friend of the podcast. She's been on here a couple times, possibly the most interesting woman in the world. I highly recommend you going back and listening to some of her episodes. We'll have her back on to talk a little bit more about what she's been up to in the coming months. So stay tuned, more to come there. So as I mentioned earlier on in this conversation, you both have been elected to class leadership roles. We've had past section reps, social reps, career reps from previous classes on the podcast. This year, it's a little bit different. We now have the ESA. I believe that's the Executive Student Association. And you were both recently elected as leaders for the newly formed ESA. Catriona, the president. Sean, I believe Executive Vice President. Did I get those titles right? All right.
Hey. Yep.
Well, good. Hey, that was all my preparation for this conversation. So, Catriona, what prompted you to run for a leadership position?
Well, so back last summer, right after I was admitted, I met Sean, and the class of 2022 really got connected virtually over the summer. And Sean was a very early leader, getting everybody set up and connected. And I just, you know, those first connections, like happy hours, mock classes, town halls, all of those things, we really got to know each other. And what I loved was how much I was learning from my classmates. And so for me, the leadership was really about giving back to Darden, giving back to my classmates, continuing to help forge those connections, make the experience as good as it possibly can be in spite of the things that are thrown at us. And so I'm really excited to be in this role as president of the ESA. And, you know, I'm all about building new things and trying something new. So, you know, when they said, well, there's a new model, it's like, I'm all in. That's always fun to do.
And the model, of course, is patterned on the residential model here at Darden, where there's a DSA, the Darden Student Association. We've had a number of DSA leaders on the Experience Darden podcast. So love to talk about student self-governance and student leadership here. And it's applicable in the executive MBA program, too, which might be a little bit surprising to some of our new podcast listeners, maybe not so surprising to some of our longtime listeners. Sean, I wonder what attracted you to serving in a leadership role for your class?
So the skills and the education at Darden are obviously an important part of it, but relationships are everything. The people that you get to know here, you're going to know for the rest of your life. Talking to people who have graduated doing, when I'm doing informational interviews for, you know, trying to figure out what's next, they always talk about that. They say if there's one thing they love, it's the people, and the people they still stay in contact with, and how they wish they were in better contact with some of the other people. So that's what it came down to for me. I mean, Catriona asked if I was interested in running, and it was an easy choice to say yes, because I think that we both have a deep love for Darden and the Darden community, and wanting to make it the best experience possible for the students and for future students alike.
I want to talk a little bit about last summer and the leadership roles you both took on during that period. We've talked about it a bunch here on the podcast, that your class arrived as one of the most connected classes we had ever seen, at least at that juncture in the program, orientation LR1. It felt like most everyone knew everybody, and not just on a surface level, it actually had a lot of engagement and a lot of interaction. Some of that were the events that we were hosting, but a lot of that was due to the fact that y'all had created this whole infrastructure for your classmates. Sean, what prompted that? I mean, you're a busy person, you got a lot going on, and yet it seemed like you were somebody who was really taking a leadership role and saying, hey, let's get this community going now.
So overall, I think one of the things I truly love about Darden is you don't show up and people tell you what to do. It's what do you want it to be? And that's kind of what drove that. Well, what I want it to be is I want it to be a place where I get to know these people who are from walks of life who I would never encounter otherwise. I wasn't satisfied with waiting until we got to LR1 or waiting for, you know, the many events that we have going up to it. I wanted more. I wanted to be able to start learning about people and making new friends and all that. So, you know, I figure just like everything else we've experienced here at Darden, if you want something, go and do it. Just like the ESA, they did not set it up and say, all right, here's exactly what you have to do. It's, hey, here's the ESA, we're changing it. Go for it. Like, what do you want to make out of it? So that's what kind of drove me down that path.
And I will say, I really appreciate your class and the willingness to kind of join us in that journey of trying things. Last summer, we were certainly going where we had never gone before with incoming executive MBA students. We had never done a ton of virtual meetups. Most of the meetups that we had done previously were completely in person, happy hours and dinners and things. And we also added a bunch of, you know, academic prep mock classes that we had not done previously, and sort of all filed under, oh, I guess the category of trying stuff, which I always enjoy. I mean, I think it's great. And I think we learned a ton through that. And we've kind of taken that model and continued to use it with the class of 2023 they onboard. We're already doing, you know, virtual town halls and virtual meetups. We had a women's admitted student networking event last night, and I think it's proven to us that you can create community and even through these virtual connections and virtual modes. Catriona, also think of you as someone who is also leading the charge there for your incoming classmates. What attracted you to getting started on that work?
So part of it is my type A personality. I just wanted to get going. You know, I was so excited when I finally got my application, and then I got admitted. And then I was like, all right, let's go. And I didn't want to wait until August. And luckily for me, Sean had already started the ball rolling. And just like Sean said, you know, I knew that the people part of Darden was going to be such an important part of my experience. And I didn't want to wait to get to know these people. And the wonderful thing is, through all those events that Darden hosted, that we self-organized, by the time we got to LR1, that first week of school, it really felt like homecoming. It was like, oh, you're there. And even though it was virtual, it was still a wonderful way to connect with people. And as Sean said, you know, like, some of my best friends from the summer remain some of my best friends today, even though they're not in my learning team or in my section. And they come from walks of life and backgrounds that I never would have been really difficult for me to connect with them in other ways. And I'm so glad to, you know, have been able to meet them through Darden.
we always tell students, once you know you're coming, take advantage of all this stuff, because, you know, this first day of school does not have to feel like the first day of school. And it does not have to have that, gosh, I don't know anybody here, I'm a little bit nervous. It does not have to feel that way. And I think the best thing that students can do, if you can find the time, is to start carving out maybe an hour every couple of weeks to come to a meetup, to start making the whole thing feel a bit more familiar. I also think it has the ancillary benefit of getting really excited about the journey that you're embarking upon. So, Catriona, I know y'all have only been in your positions for a little while now, and you probably haven't had a chance to make too many specific plans in terms of what you'd like to do as leaders of your class. But I wonder, high level, what does the ESA have in store for the months ahead?
So what we heard from our class, we did a survey of our class of what they wanted from us, how we could best serve them. And what we heard overwhelmingly was they want connection. They want ways to spend more time with each other. So absolutely start early, meeting your classmates, talking to them and helping them with, you know, everybody's here because you want a different job. Many people are not here because they're totally fine where they are. So career, social activities, community activities, just different ways of connecting with people. And then at the same time, we also fill an important function as sort of a liaison to the administration, helping the administration to kind of noodle through some thoughts, some ideas, give them the input of the class, where things are going well, maybe where we have some opportunity areas to help clarify. So so we're excited to get started on our work in the ESA.
Well, we've said it many times here on the podcast and webinars and all sorts of channels. The students have been tremendous partners always, but certainly in this past year as we've navigated pandemic and trying to figure out, you know, what's possible and what we can do and where students are and how everybody's doing. It's been 100% a partnership, and student leaders and all the students in our classes have been great. Sean, I wonder what you're excited about. What are you looking forward to accomplishing?
I'd say I'm looking forward to, we've just got some, the energy of this cohort is incredible. One of the other things that came out of the survey was that it's not all social stuff. It's building community within and without. It's finding ways to support local communities. I am genuinely excited to see where the cohort takes it. They've already got a number of ideas that are floating around for how we can take true advantage of this time where we're all together and we can make a real change in the world. So seeing that happen, getting to be a part of it and supporting it in whatever way we can as an organization is what I'm looking forward to.
All right. Well, I always ask the same question of people who kind of where you are, you know, you're 4 quarters in, about 8 months for people who you're approaching the 8 month mark, I should probably say. But quarter four, what are you looking forward to, in the coming quarters? What are you most excited about, Sean?
So this is low hanging fruit and I apologize in advance, but so I got my first vaccine. I got the second one coming up. I cannot wait to get to spend like time together as a cohort. I think Darden has been incredibly aggressive and successful at doing the best we possibly can throughout the pandemic. But the time is coming where I'm going to be able to actually see everybody that I've seen on the screen in the future. So I just can't wait. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being with my friends.
Well, I'm reminded of the name of Catriona's dog, Hope, and there have been so many articles about the power of hope in the midst of all of this, and you know just what it means to have things to look forward to and be optimistic about. I think we share your optimism. You know, hopefully vaccines continue to roll out and get into arms, and it becomes easier and easier to get larger and larger groups of people together. So, Catriona, what are you looking forward to?
Some of the same stuff. When Sean was talking about that, Sean and I became good friends last May, and it's now March. We just met in person the first time at the beginning of this month. So, you know, like I'm really looking forward to being able to hang out with my classmates in person as well. I'm looking forward to some of the classes that are coming up that are, as we start to kind of get to electives and some of the leadership classes, I'm looking forward, fingers crossed, for October for the next global trips that hopefully will go in person. So I'm going to Germany. Really looking forward to all of that. Yeah, and just really like being able to get together and figure out who's tall and who's short and, you know, things that you just can't tell over Zoom.
Well, your classmate, Caroline Darning, was on the podcast, and she said that is the biggest question mark that people have at this point, is just how tall everyone is.
Yeah, I'm short.
I appreciated that. I love the idea that y'all might have some sort of like, sort of wager system out there on who might be the tallest person in the class.
Good one.
Hey, it's interactive, right? Everybody loves a game. I am always trying to seek a way to turn anything into a game, into a competition. I'm not a competitive person, but I do love game shows. So, well, you both have been so generous with your time here and sharing more about your experience. I'd like to ask the same last question of all of our podcast guests. And so I wonder if you have a piece of advice for our listeners. Catriona, anything you'd like to highlight?
So what I would say is people come to Darden from so many different experiences and backgrounds, and everybody is here for a reason. If you are here, it's because Darden believes in you, and it's not a mistake. You got in on purpose, and you have so much to offer, whether your background is in the military, in medicine, in business, in policy, as mine is. In all of those cases, you have so much to offer. So never sell yourself short, and we're looking forward to meeting you.
Could not say it better myself. Sean, any word of advice for our listeners?
I've got so many words. I suppose I would say do your research. For me, and I imagine most other people, it starts with a search on the internet of who's who. Your eyes are going to be drawn to rankings. Darden is, you know, way up there. So that works out in your favor. But I think take the time to explore the programs and understand what it is that you're looking for in a program and what you hope to get out of it. One of the things that I had heard about Darden, I experienced it in the mock class, and it's been absolutely true, is it's work. It is a lot of work. And it's fantastic, because what I did not want to do was take 2 years of my life, throw some money at it, and come out on the other end, having not worked for something and just getting a degree like that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to build skills. I'm here to build relationships. And doing that kind of thing and doing it right is going to take work. And not every program out there is going to offer that kind of opportunity. So my advice would be to do your research and then understand what it is that you're hoping to get out of it, and then be willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears once you make it. But go for it.
Well, research advice from a self-professed research guy. I would expect nothing less from Sean. Taylor. So, well, thank you both, Sean and Catriona. It's always great to see you. And thank you for all the work that you're doing on behalf of your classmates. We love, you know, talking about student leadership here on the podcast, because at least for your podcast host, it is a great example of the fact that people are not transactionally oriented in this program, right? It's not just about a degree. It's not just about a credential. It's just about the experience. Why else would we have over 10 student organizations and all these student leadership roles if people weren't interested in building a community and being part of something while they're here? So thank you both for everything that you're doing, and stay safe.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And that was my interview with two students in our Executive MBA class of 2022, Catriona Sattler-Ayer and Sean Taylor. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.